when I was asked to have a little time with you young brothers and sisters, I understood that it was a time of questions and answers. But I have to say, to my surprise, I find that on the brochure it is said message. So I don't know what to do. And I do not know what Dana will be going to speak on, because he is the speaker. But I waited upon the Lord. I felt, on the one hand, that it still should be a time that we can fellowship with questions and answers, of course, with the help of my two brothers. Yet, on the other hand, I felt maybe it is of the Lord that I should share something with you. And so I waited. And the Lord gave me just one word. And that's the one word for you. Daily. Again, to my surprise, I find that Dana spoke on today. So evidently, it is of the Lord that it is something that we should consider together before the Lord. Now, oftentimes we think that life is made up of crises. I remember, I like to read biographies. I don't know whether you like to read biographies or not, but that is my love. I collected biographies, and when you read biographies, of course, what you'll find in the life of any person, actually you'll find these crises of their life, these turning points that made up their lives. You remember that famous preacher, Campbell Morgan. He had a wonderful book on the life of our Lord Jesus, and the title of that book is The Crisis of Christ. And he had chapters on incarnation, on temptation, on transformation, on crucifixion, resurrection, and so on. So oftentimes we think life is just made up of crises. But as a matter of fact, you find that crisis marks our life. It tells us of the different turning points of our life, different stages in our life, different growth in our life. But the way we live our life is not by crisis. If every day is a critical moment of your life, I think we'll get so nervous, so tense, we are not able to cope with it. So life actually is not lived by crisis. It is marked by crisis. But life is lived daily, day by day. Now, crises are very prominent, noticeable, distinctive, so easily remembered. But day-by-day life seems to be very common, ordinary, unnoticeable. And for that reason, oftentimes we seem to pay too much attention on crisis and too little attention on day-by-day living. For instance, we come this time together for this retreat. And probably the hope of some of you is that by this retreat something might happen to your life. I think it is good if you have that expectation that you do not just come for a day or two, but you come with expectation. You're hoping that something might happen to you, to your spiritual life, that there might be a turning point of your life, and hopefully it is a turning point in your life. But as a matter of fact, you find that if you really expect a turning point, a crisis in your life, before you come, you have been preparing for that. You know, it is our daily life that really prepares us for the time of crisis. And how do you meet the crisis, whether you succeed or you fail, it depends really on your preparation beforehand. Our daily life determines the way that your crisis will come. So I think maybe it is of the Lord that we should spend a little time before the question and answer and share together on this matter of daily, day by day living. As Christians, how do we live our daily life? What should we do every day? No exception, no holiday, but daily, what should we do? Now, if you go to the Word of God, and if you go to a concordance, our brother mentioned concordance, well, you don't need really to go to a strong concordance or a young concordance. Even a smaller concordance, like Cruden's concordance, you'll find it. And you will find that the word daily occurs a number of times in the Word of God. And for our time together, I would like to share a few of these daily. Now, number one, I feel that as a believer, as a Christian, we need to have a daily sacrifice. We need to offer a daily sacrifice. Now, if you would turn to Numbers, chapter 28, verse 3, Numbers chapter 28, verse 3, and say unto them, this is the offering by fire which shall present to Jehovah two yearling lambs without blemish day by day or daily as a continual burnt offering. Now we know that consecration is the first Christian experience. Now, after you are saved, your first Christian experience is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you read the letter to the Romans, you'll find from chapter 1 to chapter 11, you see the mercies of God. How the mercies of God come to us. And after we have received all the mercies of God, the first thing to do is, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, it is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. So far as Christians are concerned, our first Christian experience is consecration. That is, offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice. I do not know whether all of you here have done that. Now, as a matter of fact, if after you are saved, after you have received the mercies of God, and you haven't presented your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, you haven't begun your Christian walk. So, I hope that every one of you here has presented your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Now, in my young days, usually at a conference, the last day of the conference is always on consecration. But the consecration that usually the preachers will preach to us is to offer yourself to be a preacher or a Bible woman or a missionary. Now, that is what is meant by consecration when I was young. But if you read the Word of God, you'll find it is a false concept. Because present your bodies a living sacrifice is something that every brother and sister, therefore brethren, not therefore preachers, every brother and sister, every believer, the first thing to do is to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And this is your reasonable service. This is your spiritual worship. This is the first crisis, spiritual crisis, after salvation in your Christian life. And I will not spend too much time on this, but I really feel that unless you have done this, you haven't started your Christian walk. The best illustration I can think of is one done by Mrs. Jessie Penn Lewis when she consecrated herself to the Lord. That's what she said. She said, I present to you what I am, what I have, and what I'm going to be. In other words, you just hand your whole life back to the Lord and say, Lord, my life from now on is yours. You have every right over me. I give up my right to myself because you have redeemed me. You have bought me with such a price. I am moved, constrained by your love. I cannot keep myself back for myself. I have to surrender. Give my life over to you and do with me whatever it pleases you. So you can see very clearly that this is the beginning of your Christian walk. Without this, you, even though you are saved, you are still walking your own way, doing your own things. But after we have presented ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, and remember, you are on the altar. So in the Old Testament, this is typified by burnt offering. Now, burnt offering is the basic of all offerings. In other words, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find all the other offerings are offered upon the burnt offering. Now, the burnt offering is a whole offering. The whole lamb. No exception. The whole thing will be put on the altar. And the fire of the burnt offering, the Bible says, never goes out. In the morning, the priest will come and put the whole lamb on the fire and let the fire gradually consume it, reduces it to ashes. When it is reduced to ash, then the evening, another lamb will be put on the fire. And this will be consumed through the night. So in other words, it is a daily offering. Renewed morning and evening. And the fire of the burnt offering never goes out. It is a continual offering. So, brothers and sisters, if you have consecrated yourself to the Lord, now do not think that it is a once-for-all thing. Because 5 years ago, you have consecrated yourself to the Lord, therefore, it is done. No. According to the Word of God, consecration is a crisis. But it is also a way. You have to go through a crisis. One day you are constrained by the love of Christ. You are touched by His mercies. And you cannot help but give yourself over to Him. Now, having had this crisis, then you are to begin to walk daily as a consecrated person. You have to renew it day by day. Every morning, when you open your eyes, you need to tell the Lord, "Lord, I renew my consecration to you. I put myself on the altar. And may the fire, that heavenly fire, divine fire, fire of love, will burn and consume me through the day." Every night, before you go to bed, you again renew your consecration to Him. In other words, it is a daily matter. Do not think that because you have consecrated yourself 5 years ago, therefore it is done. Today, you may not be on the altar. You may climb down already. And you have started to live your own life. So, I hope, brothers and sisters, as our daily life, this is one thing that we have to do every day. It is very easy for us to forget that we belong to the Lord. It is very easy for us to try to do our own will, walk our own way. Therefore, it is extremely important, essential, for you, dear brothers and sisters, every one of you, when you open your eyes, the first thing to do is, "Lord, I give myself over to you for this day. And may your will be done in my life throughout the whole day." And that should be the way to start your day. So, this is the first thing. And the second thing our brother mentioned this morning. Now we need daily bread. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, of course, we may say, well, this refers to our physical food, how we need daily bread to sustain us through the day. But spiritually speaking, we need also daily bread. You cannot live on yesterday's food. You have to eat today. And the same thing is true spiritually. Every day, it is something that we need to do every day. Now, in Exodus chapter 16, you find that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, they cannot sow and there is no reaping there. And the only way is throughout the 40 years they were in the wilderness. Early in the morning, they had to get up to collect manna, the food of heaven, because the manna will be on the dew. And if you sleep late, you get up late, and the sun is already out, the dew evaporates and the manna is gone. So throughout the 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel had to get up very early in the morning before the sun comes, you know, with its power. And when the dew is still upon the earth, they will all get up and go out and gather the manna. Because if they do not do that, they will be hungry the whole day. And the manna cannot be kept until the next day, because if it is kept to the next day, it begins to stink. You cannot eat it anymore. But of course, with the children of Israel, you find that because they have to keep Sabbath, so before Sabbath on Friday, God gave them a double portion. And only on Sabbath that manna could be kept. Now, manna to the children of Israel is an absolute necessity, a daily necessity. They had to gather them every day. Otherwise, how could they live through the wilderness? Now, brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, the world to us is a wilderness. You know, to the people, it may be a paradise. But to us believers, the world is a wilderness. We are pilgrims passing through. And the only way to sustain our spiritual life is we need that heavenly manna. And we need to gather it every day. You cannot live by what you gathered yesterday. And our brother mentioned this morning, as believers, what is our heavenly manna? Now, of course, our heavenly manna is our Lord Jesus. But it is today. We will feed upon Him by the Word of God. So it means that every day we have to read God's Word. Now, our brother has emphasized a lot this morning, and I hope that we have all heard it. We need to Read the word every day. You cannot live on what you read yesterday. And you're not able to keep it from tomorrow for tomorrow. Every day it must be fresh. You have to gather it. You know, gathering is laboring. A Christian cannot afford to be lazy. We must be diligent, as our brother mentioned last night. We need to be diligent. Together, labor. Do some work there. On the one hand, studying, reading the word is a great joy and pleasure. You know, when you receive your parents' letter, if you are studying somewhere, and your parents give you a letter or a fax or email, whatever it may be. Now, how anxious you will read it. It is a pleasure. It is a joy. It is a comfort. But on the other hand, studying the Word of God needs laboring. You cannot just glance it over and that's it. You need some laboring. You remember in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says the Bereans, they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scripture daily. Now search is not just glance over. Search is you are really searching around, looking around and carefully, you know. So when you read the Word of God, you need carefulness. You need search it. Study it. Meditate upon it. Pray over it. Until the word, really, as our brother said, come into your heart. And I hope that every brother and sister will develop that spiritual habit. You know, in the small fellowship group this morning, we talk about this thing, and after you believe in the Lord Jesus, there are certain habits you need to develop. You know, life is a bundle of habits, and before we believe in the Lord, we develop through the years a number of bad habits. Now, after you believe in the Lord, then you have to shed these bad habits. Sometimes very difficult, but you have to let these bad habits go. But on the other hand, you need to begin to cultivate and develop new habits. And studying the Word is one of the habits you need to develop every day. It is not difficult if you start right away. You know, if you don't start that habit, start it right away and become a habit to you. Later on you will find it will be a little bit difficult to begin. But if you start right away after you believe in the Lord Jesus, it is very simple. It is very easy. So, I won't enlarge upon it. Our brother has already told us enough. That is the second daily thing. And of course, the third daily thing is daily prayer. In Psalm 86:3, if you will turn to Psalm 86, three. Be gracious unto me, O Lord, For unto thee do I call all the day, do I call daily. And Psalm 88, verse 9, mine eyes consumed by reason of affliction, upon thee, Jehovah, have I called every day, daily. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. So prayer is a daily exercise. You know, your spiritual senses need exercise. And prayer is one of our daily exercises. We need to exercise spiritually. Pray every day. Of course, you find in the scripture it say, pray without ceasing. And sometimes young brothers and sisters will ask the question, how can I pray without ceasing? You know, I do nothing else but pray when I'm eating or when I'm at school studying. How can I pray without ceasing? Now, what it means is you maintain a prayerful attitude without ceasing. You know, throughout the whole day, you maintain a prayerful attitude. And at every occasion, you try to turn it into a prayer. I remember when I was in college, what I tried to do is, you know, in college you change from room to room for different courses. And whenever I get into the room for the next class, the first thing I do is I offer a prayer to the Lord. And then the next hour I change into another room and I pray again. And just pray through hour by hour through the day. And it is such a joyful thing. And you find great strength when you are doing such thing. So in other words, we need to maintain daily a prayerful attitude. But that doesn't mean because you maintain a daily prayerful attitude, therefore you need not have a set time for prayer. Now, brothers and sisters, don't be too spiritual, thinking that, well, you pray all the day. You maintain a spiritual attitude, prayerful attitude. That is not enough. You need to develop a habit. Have a set time of prayer. Do not say that whenever I have time, I will pray. Now, if you do that, the enemy will look to it that you never have the time. You have to be before the Lord. Set a time with Him. And say, now, this is the time that is set apart for you. I'm going to devote that special time just for you, to commune with you, to fellowship with you, to offer my prayer and praise to you, to worship you, to draw near to you, to be with you. Brothers and sisters, you have to set that time. Set the best of your time for this. If your best time is in the early morning, now to me, that's the time for it. Maybe with some others it's different. I don't know. To me is when I got up in the morning, I'm fresh, and I haven't touched anything else yet, and this is the best time. I have to give it to the Lord. before I talk to anybody, I will talk to the Lord. So, you need to decide before the Lord a certain time. You will not allow anything to interfere with that time. And if it means that you have to get up early, earlier than usual, do it. You do not know what spiritual profit you will reap from it. So I hope you will have a set time for prayer, just for prayer, to draw near to God, to be with Him. Pray for yourself. Pray for brothers and sisters. Pray for God's interest. Just like what we have in the so-called Lord's Prayer. And as to how much time you will spend in doing that, well, you have to decide it with the Lord. If you can spend more time, fine. If you cannot spend more time, then you have to decide as much as you can, not as less as you can, but as much as you can. Offer your daily prayer. That is something you have to do every day. And until it becomes a habit to you. When it becomes a habit, then it will be easy. Now, forming a habit takes time, and in the beginning, it may not be too easy. You have to discipline yourself. But after habit is formed, you find that it becomes a very easy thing. Now, number four, another daily thing. We need to daily wait upon the Lord. Proverbs 8:34. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now, our brother mentioned this morning about hearing the Lord. Now, he who hears the Lord is blessed. Now, but how can you hear him? Now, if you are at a distance from Him, you won't be able to hear Him at all. You have to be near Him in order to hear Him. So, Proverbs tell us that you have to watch daily at my gates. Now, the "my" here refers to the I wisdom in the beginning. Say verse 12, I wisdom. Now the I wisdom is a personification of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus. So in other words, what the scripture is telling us is we need to watch at the gate of our Lord, waiting at the post of His doors. To put it another way, we need to wait upon Him. Wait on the Lord. That is a daily thing. Draw near to me, the Lord said, and I will draw near to you. Abide in me, and my word will abide in you. Now, he that waits upon the Lord, in Isaiah 40, it says, shall renew their strength. We need to have our strength renewed every day. And the way to have our strength renewed is to wait upon the Lord. Draw near to Him every day. So every day we are renewed and refreshed. Every time during the day, when we draw near to the Lord in our spirit, in our heart, immediately you'll find there is a rushing in of spiritual strength. Then will mount us as with wings of an eagle. You know, as we walk through our daily walk, sometimes we find obstacles. We find problems. We may find even a mountain standing in our way, difficulties. But when we are met with such obstacles, how are we going to rise above it instead of being crushed by it? We need spiritual strength. And the way to get spiritual strength is wait upon the Lord. Draw near to Him. And when you draw near to Him, you will mount up as with wings of an eagle. You will fly over it. You will run and not get weary. And you will walk and not faint. So, brothers and sisters, this is again a daily thing. Not only in the early morning, you draw near to the Lord, spend some time with Him, but throughout the day, learn to wait upon Him from time to time. Especially when there is something happen during the day. This is the time that you really need to watch and to wait before Him. You know, in Psalm 123, we have a picture there. The way that we wait upon the Lord, He says, you know, as the eyes of the servants are upon the hand of the masters, as the maid's eyes are upon the hand of the mistress, so our eyes are upon the Lord. You know, we need to look upon the Lord. You know, in the early days in the Orient, custom, you know, the servants are very well trained. And when the master is going to have a feast, and all the guests, you know, will be sitting there, and the servants will be standing around the room. They will just stand there watching. Their eyes are on the hand of the master. Now, it is considered as a disgrace to the master if he has to say something before the servants will do it. That is not well trained. The servants are so well trained, you know, that the servants, their eyes are on the hand of the master. The master will use a gesture with his hand without saying a word, and immediately they know exactly what to do. And that is the picture behind it. So in other words, how can we throughout the day do the will of God? You know, every day is an opportunity. Every moment is an opportunity for us to do God's will. That is what life is for. We are here for to do God's will. But how do we know what His will is if our eyes are not on the head of our Master? So we need to, in our spirit, we need to wait upon the Lord. The eyes of our heart need to concentrate on the Lord. And the Lord can lead us with His hand, use the environment, or the Lord can lead us with His hand, with His eyes. You know, we immediately know what His will is, and we will be doing His bit. So that is the fourth thing that I feel we need to cultivate for our spiritual life. Now the fifth thing. Don't be surprised. It is daily crops. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. If anyone, the Lord said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, how are we going to follow the Lord? We are supposed to be followers of our Lord Jesus. Now, how are we going to follow Him? The way to follow Him is to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. So, cross bearing is a daily affair. Do not be surprised. Now, if you really follow the Lord, you will have daily cross to bear. Now, cross is something that you can either take up or you can bypass it. It is when your will and God's will cross each other. Or it is when your flesh and the spirit cross each other. Then you have to decide whether you will take up the cross or you will bypass it. If you take up the cross, you have to deny yourself. It costs you something. Now the cross costs you. It costs you yourself. What you want. You have to lay down. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not according to the desire of your flesh, but according to the Father's will, to the Spirit. And if you really follow the Lord through the day, you will find there will be enough crosses for you to bear. You do not need to try to find crosses. Just now I remember a story. Madame Guyon. You know, Madame Guyon was a lady who loved the Lord very much. And because of what the Lord had shown him, she was in the Catholic system, and of course the Lord showed him about prayer with her heart, you know, not just read some prayer. And because of such thing, she was persecuted and exiled. She was imprisoned in Bastille, and One day when she was exiled on a boat, she had a little girl with her. And the little girl made lots of small crosses and put on her body. And Madame Guyon, you know, spiritually realized that more crosses are waiting for her. But anyway, you'll find that you don't need to really make crosses. You know, don't make crosses for other people. And not even for yourself. You know, the Holy Spirit, as He leads you through everyday life, you will meet enough crosses. Something will cross your will. Something will cross your feeling. Something will cross your thought, your opinion. You know, there will be enough if you follow the Lord. And whenever such things happen, learn to take up the cross and follow the Lord. Because this is the only way you can follow Him. So, cross bearing is a daily matter. It shouldn't be a surprise to you. Do not think that you need a big cross, then it is cross bearing. You know, if you do not bear your small crosses through the day, when the big cross comes, you won't be able to bear it. So it is in the daily details of your life. You bear the cross and follow the Lord. And in connection with that, another thing about daily thing is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. That is what Paul said. No, it is 31. Daily I die by a boasting which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this dying to self is a daily matter. Now it is true. If you read Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it said, knowing our old man was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. No longer live I. It is Christ who lives in me. And I now live in the flesh. I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. Now it is true. When Jesus died on the cross, our old man was crucified with Him because we were in Him. That is the truth. We need to believe our whole crucifixion with Christ. We need to stand on the finished work of Christ. But so far as our daily experience go, we must die daily. Every time when the old man tries to raise its head within us, when our flesh tries to rise up again, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you will immediately give you a warning. He will tell you. The Holy Spirit within you, He will touch you and warning you something is going to rise its head. And when that happens, you need to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, deliver the deeds of your flesh to death. We need to die daily. In other words, the way to live our Christian life is by dying to ourselves. So if do not think that it is something that is done once and for all. And do not think that this dying experience is a occasional thing. But we need to be ready to die every day. The Apostle Paul said, daily I die. That is the way to live a normal, victorious Christian living. Isn't it strange? To live is to die. And to die is to live. And that is the secret of Christian living. And it is a daily matter. And finally, our brother already mentioned, he read Hebrews chapter 3. And I have this in mind too. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage yourselves each day, as long as it is called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage yourselves daily. In some versions say, encourage one another daily. And so to me, I feel that encouragement is a daily matter. Now, with the early church, as you read the book of Acts, chapter 2, you'll find that the early Christians, they met every day, daily. Now today, with modern life, we are not able to meet every day, but whenever there is opportunity, we need to encourage one another. We are passing through a wilderness. We are living in a very perverse and wicked generation. And we need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to warn one another, lest we forget and we fall into sin. So this is another thing that we need to do daily. And not only encourage one another, another way to explain it, encourage yourself. You need to encourage yourself. Stir up yourself before the Lord, every day that you will hear His voice. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. We need to have such encouragement. So these are the few things that I feel would like to share with you. These are very basic things and common, but necessary. And if according to the Word of God, we will daily do these things. And I believe when crisis comes, you will be able to have the right turn instead of turn to the wrong direction. And so this is just a little bit I'll share with you. And can we sing a hymn, a song, and then we will go into the questions and answers. Let's stand up. So